Expo Bomb, and we're here to make you think about death and get sad and stuff.
I'm hearing voices, animal voices, the tremor of cold, the feminine others, still reaching my threshold, staring at the truth till I'm blind.
Well, it's another wonderful day in the neighborhood, a wonderful day in the neighborhood. Would you be one of my friendly, deadly friends? Tonight, ladies and gentlemen, we have a special guest with us, Mr. David Dunwoody, otherwise known as sometimes Mr. David Dunwoody. Hey, David, how's it going?
Hey, going well.
Are you happy, healthy, hale, and full of the vim, vigor, and vicious zombie conniption thingies?
I am full of it. I'm full of it. You can count on that.
Well, that's good, because, I mean, if you're not going to be full of something, you got to be full of something else, right?
Exactly. It's science.
It's science!
Science!
And I understand some people have some problem with science, but we're not going to go there. Because I think that he's got enough play in the media as it is right now. We don't need any more for him.
I don't know what you're talking about, but that's okay. We can skip it.
Okay, good. So I understand. Where did my notes go? Somebody took my notes, gosh damn it. That you have a recent book series out called The Strange Dead.
This is true.
What up with that?
Well, book one came out, as I phlegm into your collective ear spaces. Book one came out last summer, and I'm working on book two right now. It's planned as a trilogy. It basically takes place 20 years into a zombie apocalypse caused by nanotechnology. And again, not to bring up science, but science, people who had the best intentions in nanomedicine, but have inadvertently caused a zombie plague.
Science!
Damn science.
So we've got the nanotech variety going on for this zombie plague, huh?
Basically, you've got medical companies trying to develop smart organs using nanotechnology, an organ that could be 3D printed and would then could be placed into any recipient, regardless of issues such as blood type or other compatibility factors, because the nanos would be able to adapt the organ. And so it's a good idea on paper, but then, you know, somebody makes a little screw up in the R&D department and a bad batch ends up getting out. And next thing you know, these nanobots are inadvertently killing people as they fight with the natural immune system. And then they are restoring basic life. And so you end up with the shambling brain chompers.
Nom, 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 right?
Mm-hmm.
Gotta like my nom, nom, noms.
Nom, nom.
So, how did you come about trying to come up with this as the idea for a trilogy, for a series of storybook?
Well, I wanted to come back to zombies. It's been a long time since I've written anything major. I mean, 2006 was when I started writing Empire. And then that sequel were both out by 2011. And I kind of felt burned out on zombies. So,
what?
It's true. It's... you know, sometimes you can have too much of anything, be it love or water or zombies.
So I disagree, but we'll keep going.
Well, I had to take a little breather. I don't have the capacity for zombie goodness that Zombie Zach does. So I had to take a little break. Then I found myself itching to get back into it, and I started thinking about, well, I want to do something, first of all, something different. There's so much stuff out there and so much good stuff, a lot of great variety, and I wanted to try and throw something new into the mix. And so I started working on sort of thinking about it as like The Walking Dead meeting Game of Thrones, meaning that you have a lot of different factions in this post-apocalyptic environment. You have different government and military and private factions who are all trying to rebuild, some, you know, in the interest of the greater good, and some for more selfish reasons. And so there's a lot of intrigue and backstabbing and in addition to the brain chomping.
Well, the brain chomping is the most important part of my book.
It is. It's at the heart and the brain of the whole thing.
There you go. The stem as well as the cerebellum.
See.
Yeah. So, from what I've read a little bit of on the like pages and stuff, Claire is the main character?
Claire is the primary protagonist. She's a young woman who was very young when the outbreaks first occurred. She was orphaned, and for a long time she had to kind of hack it on her own out in the former America, now this collapsed wasteland. Claire has, for reasons as yet unknown to herself, she has the ability to mimic other people's appearances. She can change the tone and texture of her skin, even her hair and eye color. And she's used this seeming adaptive ability to make it. She can also pass as zombies, which is something that comes in very handy when you're a kid out there on your own, and there you've got these hordes of feral undead stalking you. So this is an ability that, for obvious reasons, there are different factions who want to get a hold of it. Some want to study it. Some simply want to exploit it.
Slice and dice and rip it apart and reconnect?
That sort of thing, yep. And there are people who think she'd make a hell of a spy, and there are those who think that if they can just find a way to harness and replicate whatever this ability is, that it could be, maybe it's the road to a cure, or maybe it's the road to ultimate control over the other factions.
Or maybe it's the road to doom instruction for everyone.
You know, it could be, unfortunately.
I'm banking on that one. That's where my markers are going to be put on in the betting board. Because, you know, it's like, doom, 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 doom. Drug mules? Wait, what drug mules?
Oh, sure. There are factions who are creating crude drugs, which they distribute. You've got a lot of barter and trade going on in this new quasi-economy. And there are those who use the dead to mule drugs through different areas, you know, fill up their body cavities and then stitch them back up and send them on their way.
That's a wee bit gross, but okay.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Mind you, I mean, looking at today's walking mules, that's probably just as gross.
Yeah. Some might argue it's more ethical to use someone who's already dead but still kicking. But then again, I'm a big believer in zombie rights, and it seems like zombie cruelty to me. Unfortunately, there is some of that in The Strange Dead.
Well, you know, don't worry. The dead always get theirs back.
Seems like you take a ticking and you keep on licking.
Well, that and they just keep sicking.
Yeah.
Or something. Something like that. So, you've got book one out. Book two is coming out when?
I'm working on it right now. I don't really have a timetable, but I would... these books are from Severed Press, and they have a pretty quick turnaround. So, it's really more on me to just get it done and get it turned in. The second book, it's called The Sinister Dead, is it's currently in progress. Sometimes things go slow going around this time of year. I always find myself getting writer's block, and I think it's less to do with the calendar, more with the weather, you know, not the holidays and all that kind of commotion, but just the dark, the encroaching dark. You wake up to the dark, you go to bed to the dark.
I don't know what you're talking about.
The darkness?
I live in the dark.
You are a child of darkness. You were molded by it.
I was created and crafted and given form to feature in the dark, as it were. Sort of, whatever, however you want to call that. So, Severed Press, what are they like? Where are they and all that fun stuff? I've heard of them.
Well, they are based in Australia, and they primarily do apocalyptic stuff and kaiju giant monster stuff, as well as aquatic thrillers, giant sea monsters, that sort of thing. So we had worked together on a couple of things, and Severed contacted me last year as I was beginning to work on book one of The Strange Dead, which originally I was going to self-publish. And they contacted me and said, hey, do you happen to, you know, be working on anything? I said, you guys like zombies? And they said, yeah. So I sent them over a pitch for the series, and I got lucky. They just happened to be looking for it as I was writing it.
Excellent. I'm actually looking at their book list right now. I recognized 3 names so far. Oh, I recognize that name too. And that one. I don't recognize the rest of them. I like the covers, though. I like the covers. They've got some good artwork selections going on there.
Yeah, they do.
It's like good, strong, solid jump out and say, hey, hey, wait, there's another few people I recognize. Cool.
Yeah, quite a few people that we know from kind of the...
previous generations.
Yeah, from the zombie circles that we've run in for the last decade or so.
So when are we going to have the next convention where we all meet up again?
Oh, my God. I'm still hungover from 2010, but, you know, the sooner the better. We always talk about when are we all going to do that again. Boy, it's been quite a while since I've traveled to do any con, so I'm definitely due for it.
Yeah, me too, because, I mean, I let my passports subside, so I have to go and get a new one eventually before I can do that. I mean, yeah, we won't go there either. There are so many other things we could talk about besides that. So, you segued into a little bit of something I was going to talk about. You talked about Kaiju. I know that you do have the one book out.
I do. Yep, that's another one from Severed Press. It's called Hell Walks. That one came out just a couple of years ago. And that is, it's another post-apocalyptic story. It's about a band of survivors trying to hack it in a world overrun by kaiju. One in particular, this sort of super kaiju that is, it's the size of a mountain, and it's been standing dormant for a long time. It's the source of all the other kaiju. And our main character, Frank, begins to experience what he thinks might be some kind of psychic link with this super kaiju. And so that leads him and his friends on a quest to try and figure out what that means and whether or not it means a solution to the problem or just new problems coming up. Doom.
Doom. So, now I have to ask, have you heard about this movie coming out called Colossal?
No, I don't think I have.
With Anne Hathaway in it.
Mm-mm.
It's being pegged as a drunk Godzilla.
Drunk Godzilla?
So, she finds out that the kaiju that's tearing up the place is imitating whatever she's doing, and it starts when she got drunk one night.
Oh man.
Yeah.
So not only does she have to wake up and try and remember who she drunk texted, but what city she took
what
a dump
city
on?
She drunk destroyed. Yeah.
Oh boy.
It looks fun.
It sounds fun.
But your book coming out the way it did, that was what, last year or 2015 or 2016?
I think it was 2015.
Yeah, I thought it was 2015 too. But it comes on the edge of a lot of the kaiju stuff. I mean, Pacific Rim put a lot of focus back on that, making a really cool looking movie. And I think with the Godzilla movie, did you see the new Godzilla?
The last one I saw was the one with Bryan Cranston.
Dude, you gotta watch the Tokyo Godzilla.
Yeah, I've been hearing good things about that one.
It's so cool. I don't want to talk about it, but it's so cool. I will talk about it, but it is still so cool. Because there's that. Then we've got the Kong of Skull Island coming out this year, and there's a whole bunch of other kaiju movies coming out. It's like, hey, look at that. David Dunwoody brought kaiju back.
You know, I wasn't going to say anything, but, you know, I definitely want to take credit for it before someone else does, if you know what I mean.
Well, exactly.
Which we won't talk about.
Okay, fine. So let's talk a little bit about Empire. That's actually the first book of yours I ever read, and I love the spin on the Reaper and the whole apocalyptic thingamabob. Some of my listeners probably don't know the story. Shame on them. They will probably eventually find out about it a little bit more. So talk a little bit about Empire. It was a good book.
Well, thank you. Empire, the concept was the Grim Reaper. Death in the Flesh is fed up with the fact that the people he's got marked in his book there as dead are standing up and going around and killing other people. And he's a singular entity of singular purpose and mind, and this is completely ruining his day. So he decides to start hunting zombies himself. And this is another one that takes place in a sort of transformed post-apocalyptic landscape. I do like stories about, you know, the collapse as it happens in the present day, but the stories that I like to write are usually set some years afterwards in a world that's been fundamentally transformed, where people have come up with new ways of relating to one another and identifying themselves and each other. And so you see that in Empire, and then of course, yeah, you got the Reaper, which is I was trying to think, what am, you know, I want to do a book where zombies meet like their arch nemesis, and what would that be? And I was kicking around different ideas, like aliens or ghosts, and then I just thought, well, what about death? And I went from there.
Cool. Death is pretty much a iconic figure of all sorts of stuff. Indeed. Especially zombies. So that's cool. And then I remember the Harvest Cycle as well.
Yep. That one came out a couple of years after that, 2008, I think. That one was an adventure in apocalyptic Lovecraftian goodness with a mad god spawning aliens across the globe to eat people's brains and basically steal their minds.
Oh, so they didn't come from an alien planet?
Well, they were seeded here on Earth. They definitely came from some other space.
Ah.
But, and then you've got, of course, the robots. There's lots of robots in that one.
Robots!
Who have gone rogue, and they are hunting humans as well, so humanity is just catching crap from all sides in that one.
So who's harvesting what?
Well, you've got the harvesters, the aliens that the mad god has brought to Earth. And they're ostensibly harvesting our brains. For what reason, we don't know initially, but then we start to find out that it has to do with stealing something that's unique about the human consciousness and the human subconscious, something to do with dreams, something to do with this mad god trying to pacify itself as it lies in this sort of eternal living death state.
Hey, I've heard of that guy before.
Yeah, there are those guys.
So I was just going to say that brains are tasty, but okay.
They can do other things, but they are, I mean, mostly they're tasty.
Yes, mostly they're tasty. That's what I go with. I mean, if you put in a bit of garlic and then a little bit of like cheese and stuff, it's like, ooh, brain surprise.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. Fun for everyone. So, I can't remember clearly or not, but I think you'd self-published something.
I did. Last year. No, it was no idea. I think Hellwalks came out in 2014, and the Three Egos, my self-published one, was 2015. And that's another one that's got a cosmic element to it. And in fact, I came on here on Afterrot to pimp it, talking about heaven and hell and worlds in between, a vast conspiracy involving angels and demons.
Conspiracy, angels and demons, huh?
And
I think
robots.
I've heard of that. It's Trump and Hillary. It's Trump and Hillary, right?
And there are robots. And,
robots!
And werewolves.
Werewolves! Werewolves are always fun. They're a little hairy, though, for me.
That's true. They're kind of retro.
Well, I think werewolves are making a big comeback, actually, this year, next year.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. It's just things that I've been seeing more and more werewolf mentions about stuff, and it's like all of a sudden werewolf, werewolf, okay.
That, you know, that'd be a good thing. I really love werewolves. I would say of all the classic monsters from back in the day, I'd say werewolves are my favorite.
And then of course
you know, the zombie joined the pantheon, the modern day zombie, a little later on. But as far as like the old school kind of vampire, mummy, that crowd, I love me the werewolves.
So speaking of old school, because I still have copies of old school.
Me too.
Do you like the older school versions of the monsters, or do you like new renditions and stuff? And that's going to kind of work into a zombie discussion as well.
Okay. Well, I mean, it depends. I'm really open to anything. I wouldn't say that I am necessarily a purist in my fanboyism. I definitely like to see new twists on things. And with these monsters, you know, I think these monsters throughout history, they've always represented stuff that's going on with us in whatever era it may be, whatever our current fears or conflicts are. Zombies and other monsters have always been reflective of those things. And so I appreciate, you know, the older school monsters that dealt with fears of things like, you know, disease and then and
personal body stuff.
Yeah. And now we've got, you know, non monsters where the themes deal with kind of more internal sorts of things, and, you know, identity issues and things like this.
Oh, you mean like the darkness that creeps within the soul and how it explodes out and then says, hey, why don't you crawl under a hole, kind of thing?
yeah, stuff like that.
Oh, okay. Did you see there's a Ringu 3 coming out?
I saw a trailer for Rings, yeah.
Yeah, Rings. Did you see the prank thing that they set up at the video store?
I did not.
Dude, it's funny as hell.
Is that on like YouTube?
Oh yeah, it's all over the place.
Cool.
It's on my Facebook page at some point. I think I shared it the other day. I love a good prank that's a great marketing gimmick.
Definitely.
And when you can work them in like that, that's like cool as hell. So, speaking of gimmicks,
mm-hmm.
Not really gimmicks per se, but the whole concept, how do you, this is going to go into the more of the technical side of being an author side now.
Okay.
How do you feel getting your name out there is working? I mean, I've noticed that you've been doing more YouTube videos. That's something I think works. How do you find trying in today's world, the social media stuff and everything like that? How is it working for you? How do you think the best things are working for you?
Well, for me, my experience has been, I mean, promoting yourself on particularly social media, it's, you know, like standing in Grand Central Station yelling, and everyone else there is yelling too, and they're kind of not really listening to your thing. And you just hope that something will kind of stick in people's heads, that maybe they'll think back and say, hey, I remember some guy screaming about nano zombies or something. It's tough. And I know that there are people who are very savvy with the social media and have built a base. And while I think I have a small base, I'm still working on trying to figure out the best way to kind of maintain it and grow it. My Facebook page for zombies, David Dunwoody's Zombies, has been not gangbusters, but it's definitely been an effective tool for connecting with people who are outside of my sort of personal social media bubble. And then with the Twitter, I do a lot of tweeting and retweeting, and follow a lot of authors and other enthusiasts who are very supportive and retweet other people's stuff. The YouTube videos, I don't know that I haven't mastered getting them out there. I enjoy making them, but once they're up on the YouTube, you know, then I have to figure out, okay, how do I, you know, how do you get something to take on that viral effect and start spreading around? And that's something that I'm still working on figuring out.
Okay, gotcha. But which between Twitter and Facebook, which do you think is more effective for you?
If I had to guess, probably Twitter, with the way that I promote, I think Twitter is just more conducive to the kind of way that I do it. I don't want to, you know, like, you can tweet so much stuff and share other people's stuff and really have a steady stream of content, which you then pepper with your little, you know, buy my book things. And it doesn't overwhelm people, particularly when, you know, when you put out a tweet, say you have, you know, 10,000 followers, they're not all seeing it. So you've got to come back later and say, hey, for everybody else. And then 5 minutes later, hey, by the way. And so Twitter is cool because you can keep peppering your stream with all that stuff. But there's also a lot of content from other people that you can add to your stream and share. And then whereas on Facebook, I don't want to be posting stuff about my books every day because I know that would be, I think it would be interpreted differently. I think there's maybe a sense that there's a different etiquette when it comes to Facebook posting. Maybe that's just my impression. I could be wrong, but I feel like Twitter is kind of more spam friendly, whereas Facebook is, you know, you're just really getting on people's nerves who wanted to connect with you in maybe a more meaningful way.
I think I understand what you mean, because I find that people like say, yeah, whore your books on Twitter and on Facebook, make friends. Okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, okay, cool. So part of what you started mentioning something earlier, something I wanted to come back to, but hey, needed a right point to get to it, so we're getting to it. Zombies in general.
Mm-hmm.
I personally have been very surprised that the zombie wave is still going. Has been going now for, let's call it, 10, 15 years now. Mm-hmm. How can it keep going? Every once in a while, I keep coming across something that's like, oh my gosh, that's a great new unique way of looking at zombies. Or the zombie story, or the zombie premise, etc. Have you seen the movie Maggie?
Yeah, I have. Yeah, you recommended that to me, and I enjoyed that one.
I personally hate tearjerkers.
Yeah.
But that was a perfect tearjerker. So it's like, I mean, how it's kind of constantly mind-blowing me. It's just how that the zombie literature and zombie stuff can still keep finding new ways to reinvent and define itself. How do you feel about that?
Well, I agree. There's always some interesting new stuff, you know, coming down the pike. And I think, well, you know, as I mean, surprised and kind of mystified as we are about the endurance of the zombie wave, I think it definitely, it's a mystery as to how it continues to have that sustaining strength. And certainly the question of, you know, what's going to be the end? When's it going to taper off? I have no answer to that. I think just zombies have such, this is my theory, they have such an accessibility. And you can do so many things with them, and they can speak to so many themes, you know, about the modern human condition. And plus, they're just fun. You know, they don't all have to be, you know, cerebral or emotional metaphors. Zombies, just on the face of it, are just really creepy and intriguing because they touch on our you know, basest fears about. Illness and death and losing our loved ones, and just the worst way, the most sort of potent way, watching their body change, watching the light go out of their eyes, but they're still coming at you.
You're referencing Maggie in there a couple.
Possibly.
Yeah, possibly. I could definitely see Maggie there. Yeah. Cool. So, what kind of zombie thing would you most like to see coming up?
Oh, boy.
Because I know what I want to see.
I'm not sure, you know, because it seems like, you know, there's such a great variety. There's a little bit of something is already out there. I would like to see, just off the top of my head, I like to see more stuff involving animals and other species dealing with zombification.
You need to read some comic books then.
Do I?
Yep. Rex the Zombie Hunter. There's actually a whole bunch of dog and other animal comic books where they survive the zombie apocalypse where the zombies kill everyone.
Fun stuff.
It's cool. I was going to say, I want to see a zombie amusement park. Like an actual amusement park for zombie stuff. I mean, I've seen a couple of outdoor wilderness stuff and stuff. What do you call those things where you do the obstacle course stuff?
Oh, sure.
The 5K run and the 1K runs and stuff. Those look fun, but not the same as a zombie amusement park.
So you're talking not just in terms of what would we like to see in zombie fiction, but what kind of, like, in other medium and real life entertainment.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be cool stuff.
I mean,
definitely.
The funniest thing I've ever seen so far is, I can't remember which car company it was, Subaru, Honda, one of the others. They had these four sets of commercials. One was a lumberjack, one was a Bigfoot, one was a zombie, and the other one was another guy. And it was a zombie car commercial.
I don't think I've seen that one.
It just made me laugh my ass off. I don't watch TV anymore. I haven't watched it in several years now. And this commercial was shared to me, and I was like, well, hell, that's just funny. I'd actually consider buying that car after that. Because, you know, zombies.
Y'all.
So, who are you reading right now?
Well, right now, boy, I've got a backlog of new stuff, like newly published stuff. Everybody does. Right now, I'm still going through this Harlan Ellison audiobook. This is Ellison himself reading some of his best stuff, and really not just reading it, but like performing it, you know, in a really interesting way that makes it really fun to listen to. Plus, you know, it's getting maybe the truest sense of an author's literary voice when he's performing the works in his voice.
Okay.
Mural.
Don't mind me. I sometimes type while I'm talking at the same time. Because, you know, we got a chat room in the chat room.
I heard about the chat room in the chat room.
You know, everybody in the chat room, we got a few people in there. If you've got a question for David, just throw it out there. I'll see it. I might not type a response to it, but I'll see it and I'll ask. Just throwing that out there in the chat room because, you know, the chat room might do a chat thing. And then we'll move on to something else until they do. So, yeah, I mean, okay, well, you know me. I've always been the zombie fan. Kind of a nut. So, I mean, I like to see all kinds of stuff. I love the movies. There are so many freaking zombie movies. And every single cross genre you could possibly imagine has a zombie freaking thing in it somewhere.
Yeah.
Westerns. There's even porns. There's like porn. There's zombie porno movies.
That's unfortunate.
Just blows my mind. Literally and figuratively, it just blows my mind.
Well, you know, again, I guess it goes to that. I think, you know, the reason that Romero's zombie sort of caught fire in the way that it did and immediately joined this pantheon of older, much older, more established, you know, creatures like the, you know, the vampires and the werewolves. It has to do with just such a universal quality to it, universal accessibility. And so, yeah, it makes sense. I mean, you've seen them in everything, sometimes much to one's chagrin.
Yeah, speaking of Universal, you know that Universal's trying to make a comeback, right?
I saw a trailer for, is it Tom Cruise?
Yep, The Mummy.
And I was like, what? I was like halfway through the trailer and I started to realize, oh my God, this is somehow The Mummy, isn't it? And then I was like, I don't get it. So are they going to revamp Frankenstein and Wolfman and all this stuff?
That is the first foray of their Universal Monsters universe. They're going to start with The Mummy, then they've got Frankenstein, Dracula, werewolf, creature, and a few other things all pegged in there and loosely colored in, and they're just trying to wait and see, well, let's see how well this one does.
And so they're thinking, like, of having these all be sort of tied together, being, like, in the same, like, kind of cinematic...
Yep.
What kind of, wow.
They're making their own Marvel Universe cinematic universe of Universal Monsters.
Alrighty.
So, I want them to do well, because those are all creatures I like.
Yeah, oh, yeah, I would
but
love
Tom Cruise.
Yeah, that, I just completely went over my head. I don't know, man.
Huh.
I like the old, you know, I like the kind of Hammer mummy. It's just kind of like grody and the bandages, and he's going to just choke everybody.
Well, she's got bandages, too. They cover up the naughty bits.
Yeah, that's true.
But that's it. Like, eh, I don't know. I got the people who know me know that I have very strong reactions and then very mixed inclinations towards a lot of these movies, because I can tell you a couple movies, like I tell you that movie and that just pure sucks as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
And then I can tell you this other movie, it just made me laugh my ass off even though it sucked. Speaking of which, you gotta watch Death Race 2050.
Now this movie, I'm told, has nothing to do with the Jason Statham, the like Paul Anderson Death Race.
Nothing to do with the Jason Statham Death Race movies. Not even closely related.
But is it related to the original?
Abso-freaking-tootly. You know that the original movie was done by Roger Corman's group, right?
Right.
And so is this one.
Well, right on.
This is actually a remake of that movie.
Oh, yeah. Cool.
Funniest thing. One of the character names in this movie? Tammy the Terrorist. I'm sorry, that just kept me cracking up the entire time they kept saying Tammy the Terrorist. It's like, wait a second, that doesn't sound right. And she blows people up, too. So, you know.
That fits.
It fits. Totally. But yeah, I mean, I'm doing a sort of mini project right now for myself. Just all the horror movies that I haven't seen. Trying to get a list and saying, well, yes, I'll get to that one. It's like, I'm not going to get to these other 100 over here. And I'm currently looking at a list of about 6,000 movies just from 8,000 movies from 2010 to 2016.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, well, I recognize that I watched 20 of them from last year, 20 of them from the other previous years. It's like, I got a lot of movies to watch.
This is where being undead would come in very handy.
Yeah, but then I still have to work, and it's like, well, that's 8 hours, 9 hours of the day that's gone that I could be watching good movies. Or bad movies. Whatever.
Yeah.
So you like the kaiju stuff. Do you watch Japanese movies as well?
It's been quite a while since I've really watched any kaiju stuff. In fact, when Severn Press and I first got to talking about Hellwalks, my initial thing was, maybe I'll do like a zombie kaiju sort of thing. And Severn said, you know, kaiju fans, they kind of like their kaiju just straight up kaiju.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
Okay. I said, all right, well, so let me think, what could I do then, but still put kind of a stamp on it, a unique twist. And I had not seen a lot of the recent kaiju stuff. In fact, I hadn't seen Pacific Rim when I wrote Hell Walks.
Oh, good. So, you had a fresh look at it then.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's... Yeah, and I kind of came to the kaiju genre not being someone who's huge into it and well-versed in it. And so far, the reception seems to be pretty good for Hell Walks. So maybe some people, you know, they appreciate that kind of... fresh take, and then, you know, there are going to be some who feel like, well, this isn't, you know, the sort of kaiju book that I'm used to, which, you know, fair enough.
That's why the world is full of variety and people like different things all over the place.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah. So have you seen any bits of the movie The Wall?
No, I have not.
It's another kaiju movie. That one has, what the hell's his name? Mark? Mark Wahlberg?
Oh, yeah?
One of those guys in it. Another one of those fun type movies, whatever.
I'd heard of it, but I didn't know it was a kaiju movie. So, well, that's got to be a big ass wall.
That's, hey, why did they build the Great Wall of China? To keep the monsters out. Okay, that makes sense. So I like the premise. Looks good. Looks fun. Looks interesting. So, I mean, have you watched anything recently that has tickled your fancy particularly?
Lately, I have been going back and I'm rewatching The X-Files. I haven't seen a lot of new flicks, so I'm going back and I'm watching old stuff because it occurs to me that I consider myself an X-Files fan, but back when the show was running, I didn't catch very many episodes of it. I'm finding myself seeing episodes I've never seen before, and so that's been fun.
Like Jose Chung's Aliens from Outer Space?
Oh, that one I had seen, but I definitely watched it again.
Well, yeah, that one's awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, pretty much every episode that I can remember, any little bit from X-Files is awesome. Except for the last season had a lot of, well, this is a little slow.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, one of these days I'll rewatch all 9 seasons or whatever it is of X-Files as well.
Yeah, I'm up to started season 7. I'm getting there.
If you like X-Files, you might also like another show called Warehouse 13.
Oh, yeah?
Which was a kind of a similar idea, but with a different bent on it. But still, hey, weird stories, okay. That kind of stuff.
Cool stuff.
Ooh, ooh, ooh. What? Twin Peaks starts up this month. Did it already start up? Crap, I'm going to have to look that up again.
I don't know. I don't have Showtime. Do they have, is there like an online like thing where you can do it?
Well, you're in the States, so you can, yes. I don't know where it is, but have you checked out The Preacher?
Yes.
Haha.
Yes, I did.
Did you ever read the comics?
I have not. I've been, ever since I started watching the show, I've been reading about the comics online and wanting to get into that. Because I guess it seems like this first season was kind of a preamble, kind of a build up to where the comics really start.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah, the comic pretty much starts like in Issue 1 where, okay, whole town go boom.
Yeah.
That's pretty much the way the comic starts.
Yeah, I definitely enjoyed that show and the kind of the weird, you know, humor, the little bits, the little things that, you know, we're not going to explain this, but, you know.
You mean, here's like having a guy named Assface?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then the stuff that I assume that Seth Rogen and was his partner Evan Goldberg. The stuff that I assume they added in, like the mascots, the random bear walking around town, which was very creepy and just never any explanation.
Yeah, I think they kind of shot that up in all over the place in that one. Is like, yeah, okay, we'll just do weird. Nobody will notice it. Yes, they will. Nobody will notice it. Yes, they will. Nobody will notice it. Yes, they will. But yeah, that's what the fans do. They as EW has pointed out to me, I'm already going to, if and when I watch the movie XXX, I'm probably going to nitpick the shit out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Which, that's fine, I expect to, but at least I will enjoy it. I already know that. I mean, I like Vin Diesel doing all that stupid shit.
You've got to have a place in your heart for stupid shit. It's
absolutely.
It's a survival tool. Like.
Dude, have you watched a movie called Thanksgiving?
Thanksgiving, that's... No, I have not.
It's really bad.
It sounds, on the face of it, it sounds bad.
It's a rubber chicken going around killing people because it was disturbed from an Indian burial ground and it just didn't like that. So it's been radioactively poisoned and it goes around killing people. It's a rubber chicken.
Well, that sounds like fun for the whole family.
Exactly. But it's so bad, it's funny. Because they knew damn well what they were doing with this movie when they did it. It's like, yeah, we got a $4,000 budget. Let's go all out. Rubber chicken. Okay.
Well, I've been scared of rubber chicken since the Muppet Show, so.
Okay. I can't say much to that. But what about Pennywise, the new Pennywise? I'm on the negative side. I'll just tell you that.
Yeah. When I first got the first glimpse of him, it was kind of fuzzy and it looked creepy. And then you get those Entertainment Weekly, photo shoot glimpses and you see the whole costume and you just say, what, where in the book did you get this?
Yeah, that's where I come up with, he looks like a flippin' ponce.
Yes.
And that's just because the British thing expression for that. And it's like, okay, I don't get where you get that outfit from. It looks like some kind of Marie Antoinette puppet thing. And he, I don't get it.
Yeah. Yeah, some, like he crawled out of, I don't know, a Punch and Judy puppet show or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Punch and Judy. That's what I was trying to remember the name of. I couldn't. Oh, well.
It's weird. But, you know, I'm still, that it's my favorite book. And so I'm not going into the film really with any expectations.
Well, good. I hope not, because I don't know what to expect in that one.
Yeah.
Because, man, sometimes, and I use, and as to answer Jeff's question in the chat room, yes, I have seen Poltergeist. Dude, Wardog, you haven't seen it? You have to watch it. Have you seen Poltergeist?
Yes, I have.
Okay, good, good. Splattery, good, clean fun for the Colonel Sanders, for everyone.
Who is the new Colonel now? I can't tell from these commercials. They keep changing it.
I don't know. I can't follow it. It's just the whole Colonel Sanders. There was a zombie Colonel Sanders commercial, too, at some point. Crap. I can't remember what that was.
I don't remember, though.
I have to YouTube some looking up later. Oh, now that actually dethroned my entire thought process right there.
Ooh.
So other than more of the Stranger Dead series, what else you got cooking up?
Right now, that's the main focus. It's been a while since I've worked on short stories, and so I'm trying to do some of that, too, because that's my first love for both reading and writing. I just love the short story format. And so I'm trying to get back into that. Speaking of zombie nuts, I got this bowl of walnuts in front of me, and these, like, they look like decomposing brains.
You have seen the pictures that I've shared a couple times, right? The zombie nuts eating the brains out of the zombie shells.
Oh, yeah, you know what? Yeah, I think I have to know that.
Yeah, they're funny.
Yeah.
I like them.
I feel like a giant zombie.
You could be the kaiju anti-zombie.
Exactly.
You're like eating the zombies in order to save the world. Like Godzilla is trying to save the world from the zombies.
Exactly.
There you go. You're the Godzilla zombie eating thing guy. We'll go with that. And that made me lose my... Oh, yes. What else you got coming up, working on? You had some short stories and stuff.
Right, yeah. I'm writing some stuff. As far as anything else that's coming out... Boy, I've got stories in quite a few books that have kind of been put on hold by different publishers due to just, you know, the state of...
publishing.
I think anthologies are... They're in one of their... valleys, and they're waiting for a peak. So there's nothing I can really announce, but at some point things will happen. I can promise you that.
Cool. And I just happened to notice that you had something written for Chaosium, or Chaosium, or however they want to pronounce that.
Yeah, I don't know how to pronounce it either, but yeah, I think I'm in a couple of theirs. One called Undead and Unbound, which you might remember was originally a Library of the Living Dead project.
Yes.
And then got picked up by the Sea Guys. I don't know how you say it. And then another one called Eldritch Chrome, which is sort of a cyberpunk Lovecraftian thingamabobber.
Cool. And yeah, I'm just looking at a bunch of the other anthologies you've been in. There's a whole bunch of them. Hey, the Headshot Quartet's up for a cent on Amazon.
Well, for Pete's sake,
seriously,
go and grab it. That is a killer book.
And then I see some Evil Jester Press stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I don't know who they were, or I know who Evil Jester is. I don't know who that is over there. I see some Shroud stuff.
Mm. Yep.
Library of Horror, which we know they're not around anymore.
Yep.
Hey, look, Old School. That's not still available. Now I have to click on that and see what it's gonna says. Oh, it says there's some available. Haha! Two new available for $137. I've got 10 of them sitting right there in the shop.
Well, shoot. I got a few of them, too. We're going to have to mark up the prices on these.
I know, seriously.
Well, listen, if you got $138, you can get Old School and Headshot Quartet right now.
I know, exactly. You get the twofer.
Yep. Two for the price of 20.
Yeah. So, okay, let's throw into the old traditional style question for you. What do you think is, like, how do you get the juices going to write? Like, what do you have, like, a working room where you have, like, the music cranked up so loud you can't hear nothing else except the ringing in your brains? Or it's, like, set so low that it's, like, you can't hear nothing except a tweet. Stuff like that.
I take a page from, remember the Ray Bradbury theater show? And he'd walk into his office, and it was just, like, this museum of just oddities on every shelf and covering the walls, just surrounded by all this weird stuff, you know. And he would say, all I have to do is sit down and look around, I see some weird fucking thing, and then I write a story. So I've tried to take a page from that. My home office, such as it is, I am surrounded by various weirdness. There's no rhyme or reason, certainly no sense of style, and it's just a cornucopia of little horror figurines and 8-bit characters stuck to the walls, frogs all over the place, horror movie posters, and of course books. And yeah, to get the juices flowing, I try just, you know, looking around and picking through the various stuff lying around here and seeing if inspiration hits. My main source of inspiration, I would say overall, which I don't really have control over, is dreams. But while I don't have control over it, which is part of what I like, I do tend to have weird dreams on a fairly regular basis, so that helps a lot.
Well, I guess weird dreams is really relative, right?
Yeah, indeed.
I mean, your idea of a weird dream and my idea of a weird dream is probably not going to be the same. My last weird dream was like, why do I have a glass of milk in my hand? What? I don't get this.
That's kind of an existential horror story, I think.
Yeah, but the rest of it was I was just killing stuff, and I threw this tank at somebody, and then they all died, and then it's like, why do I have a glass of milk in my hand after doing that? Is it supposed to be something refreshing? It's like I did a lot of good work, and then here I have a refreshing glass of milk. Okay, I'll drink, and then I woke up. I'm thinking there was some Matrix reactions going on there. I was like, what the hell, man? It's just blowing my mind. I didn't take no blue or red pill. It's like, oh, jeez. All right, so cool. Okay, I'm going to go into one of the crazy-ass, lame question type things. If you could spend a half an hour chatting with somebody, live or dead, who would it be besides me?
I'm going to say Charles Manson.
Well, he's still alive, but not for very long.
True, exactly. He's right on the cusp.
Well, he went to the hospital recently because he was, like, ill.
Yeah, Patton Oswalt said that he thinks Manson was just trying to get out of playing the inauguration. But yeah, so he's...
I can't blame him for that.
He's certainly not a guy that I admire. I mean, but, if I was sitting with, like, Mark Twain or Lovecraft or Stephen King or something, I wouldn't know what to say. But with Manson, I could just let him go for half an hour, and I know I'd come out of there with 3 or 4 story ideas at least.
Okay, cool. Have you seen any of his artwork?
I don't think I have. I've heard some of his music.
I didn't know he did music. I'll have to check that out now.
Yeah, it's out there. You can find that on the YouTubes.
Huh. Well, I have an art book that has some of his art in it. It's a little... What? It falls into that category of like, what? It's like, I'm probably going to sell the book because I don't want it anywhere near in my place because it's serial killer artwork. Apparently all the serial killers like to make art.
Yeah, a lot of failed artists become serial killers, it seems.
Or vice versa.
Right.
Well, who knows? Who gets it? Yeah. It's going to be whatever it's going to be. So, we're getting around towards the end of the show. Is there anything you want to talk about out of the blue?
Chud.
Chud?
The Chuds.
You know they're making a new one, right?
Now, I've heard rumors of this. Is this confirmed?
I thought they had... confirmed it somewhere. We're going to do a quick search. Okay, no. They have not yet confirmed a new movie. But I wouldn't be surprised if they don't come out with it.
Sure, why not?
Another Bud the Judd?
Holy Moses. I rewatched Chud 1 and 2 recently, and I just... Bud the Judd.
They're messed up movies, but...
Yeah.
I like a good messed up movie.
I do, too.
It's like... I can rhyme off crap loads of these really, really weird movies sometimes, and people look at me funny and say, and you enjoyed that? Dude, it was funny. Did you see the blood geysering out of the guy's head? It doesn't do that. Not in real life. It just kind of like dribbles out when you do that in real life. But in the movie, it's like jetting out and there's fountains and it's like... Have you ever seen Vampire Girl versus Dracula or Frankenstein Girl?
No.
It's a Japanese horror movie. The girl just cuts the one guy's head off and she's basically sitting in a rain of blood. Ooh, Hell Driver. With the flying bodies of a bunch of zombies all connected together and they're holding onto these two giant rockets and the whole body thing is flowing. It's flying through the air, grabbing onto these two nuclear rockets or whatever that you just threw into the... Like, no, we're not going to let you blow us up. We're going to take your rockets and fly somewhere else and drop those bombs somewhere else. The Japanese have some messed up movies.
I've heard that.
And they're awesome. Awesomely bad and awesomely good. Mixing them both. Ooh, check out one called As the Gods Will.
As the Gods Will. What's that one about?
Have you seen Battle Royale?
Yes.
Okay, think of Battle Royale, but on steroids.
Jeez.
Yeah. So not just one classroom's going to a little island. Every school kid in the first 10 minutes is either survived the game or died.
Youch.
And apparently some god started this game. Fun shit.
Sounds so cool.
How can people find you? How can they stalk you?
Best way, you can check me out on Facebook. And to get to Facebook or the Twitter or the Tumblr or any of those things, if you go to daviddunwoody.com, it's got links to all that good stuff, plus a list of, you know, stuff that's recently come out and stuff that came out a bazillion years ago. So that's your one-stop shop.
Cool. And the Twitter, your Twitter handle, and the Facebook handle?
Facebook is, I think, D. Dunwoody. Just search David Dunwoody. It's got the Strange Dead's my profile picture. And then David Dunwoody on the Twitter.
And anybody you want to shout out to?
Charles Manson. Feel better, buddy. Hang in there.
Did you hear that some chick wants to marry him?
Oh, of course she does. Good gravy.
I'm not getting it. I'm just not getting it. No, seriously, I'm not getting it. Why aren't they coming to find me? I'm dead.
Well, I don't know. That's another one of life's mysteries. It's like, why do I have the milk?
I know. I know I have a hankering for milk.
I do too.
I'm going to have some cereal in a minute. But I think we are rounding the final stretch of tonight's show, as in, like, there's 1 minute. I believe the lovely people and talented people of The Spoon are getting ready to jump in and start doing their spoonish stuff.
Ah.
So I just wanted to say a quick thanks, David Dunwoody, for coming on the show.
Thank you very much. Thanks, everybody, for, you know, tuning in, hanging out.
Talking about your new series of books, The Strange Dead.
Uh-huh.
Everybody in the chat room, everybody else in the streams, everybody else who listens to this in the recorded format, I appreciate y'all coming out. Come by every Wednesday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on this same Bat channel, same Bat whatever else, no Bat 2C. Be yourselves, be fair, be fun, be good, be all those things you can be, and have yourselves an after-rotten good time.
A big surprise. If you go down in the woods today, you'd better go in disguise. For every bear that ever there was will gather there for certain, because today's the day that teddy bears have their pick.